This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
حسن طيب الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Today We try, inshallah, together to understand the power of Ramadan and the excellence of Ramadan. I'm sure you are familiar with this subject. But as Muslims, we need to remind each other all the time, and we need to remind ourselves all the time about the excellence of these major duties, major ibadat, and one of them is fasting in the month of Ramadan. And I would like tonight to share with you a Qudsi hadith, and also we talk about a few concepts from the verses of fasting in Surah Al-Baqarah. And the hadith I would like to share with you is a hadith Qudsi that is found in Sahih Muslim and Sahih Al-Bukhari. And we try to understand this hadith and the meanings of this hadith. Actually, it's only one part of this hadith in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كُلُّ عَمَلِ ابْنِ آدَمَ يُضَاعَفْ الْحَسَنَةُ بِعَشْرِ أَمْثَالِهَا إِلَى سَبْعِمِائَةِ ضِعْفٍ. ثم قال الحبيب عليه الصلاة والسلام بعد هذه العبارة قال الله تعالى. And here it is not Quran, it is a Qudsi hadith. That means the message came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, قال الله تعالى إلا الصوم فإنه لي وأنا أجزي به. ثم قال يدع شهوته وطعامه من أجلي. هذا جزء من حديث مشهور طويل تكلم فيه الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام عن أشياء كثيرة. So it's a long hadith, but we try to focus on this part of this hadith in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said the reward of every good deed of a person or the son of Adam is multiplied 10 times to 700 times. So basically this is a rule. Anything that you do for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your rewards will be multiplied, but this multiplication goes from 10 times up to 700 times, right? Anything you do. But there is an exception here that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned. And he said, قال الله تعالى, Allah says, and this is a sign that if what comes after is not Quran, that means it is a Qudsi hadith. If it is not a Quran, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah says, then it is a Qudsi hadith. So here he said, the reward of observing Sawm is different than the reward from, you know, from the rest of the deeds. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Sawm is for me, and I will reward him for it. I will reward the person who observes fasting. And he said he leaves his desires and he leaves for his food for my sake. So basically Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving us the reason for giving this special status to the ibadah of fasting. He's talking about this special status that is given, that is granted to this ibadah of fasting. And basically, as I said, what we understand from this hadith, that everything will be multiplied from 10 to 700 times, except fasting. We don't know the multiplication of this ibadah. We don't know the multiplication of the rewards that will be given to those who observe fasting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not want to tell us about it. And some ulama, they said, even the angels didn't know, they have no access to this knowledge, they don't know about it. So basically, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you the reward of fasting on the Day of Judgment. But it is definitely more than 700 times, the multiplication. Because if it was within this range, then it will be like the rest of the deeds. Right? Like the rest of the deeds. Sadaqah or Umrah or Hajj or Salat. It will be like the rest of your deeds. But since they said, the hadith is saying this is an exception. It's a special reward that will be given to those who observe fasting and no one knows about it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you this reward on the Day of Judgment. Now, there are some explanations for this statement when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِلَّا الصَّوْمْ فَإِنَّهُ لِي وَأَنَا أَجْزِي بِهِ, except for fasting, it is for me, and I alone will give him the reward or its reward. There are a couple of explanations. The first explanation, they said, the essence of fasting is sabr. You will be able to fast because of your patience. If you're not patient, you will eat and drink. Right? And there are people who made this statement. They said, I don't know, non-Muslims who met their Muslim friends, and they told them, we don't know how you guys are able to go without food and drink for 12 hours and 10 hours. I'm not able to digest it. I'm not able to understand it. So even though we know some of them tried it, but generally speaking, yani it is difficult for a human being to go without food for 12 hours, 10 hours, for 12 hours. So here we need to be patient. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a statement about patience. Patience teaches you self-control. You're controlling your desires, you're controlling your emotions. Basically, it's a training. You're training yourself to control yourself. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Az-Zumar, إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about sabr. He said, certainly those who are patient will be given to their reward on the Day of Judgment without any measurement. That means sabr, it's a great ibadah, right? When you are patient. Patient with your parents, patient with your children, patient with your wife, patient with your husband, patient with your neighbors. If they're hurting you, you're patient, you're not trying to take revenge. You're trying to be patient all the time. This is an ibadah, this is an act of worship. Patience is not a form of weakness. It's a form of resilience. It's not a form of weakness. When you're patient, you're controlling your emotions. You know what you are doing. Right? You're not losing yourself. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Those who are patient will be given their reward without any account, without any measurement. And since fasting is, or patience is the essence of fasting, then there is a strong link between them, and maybe that's the reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you will receive your reward without any account. I'm not going to tell you about it. You will know about it on the Day of Judgment. And this hadith makes ibadah of fasting yani great ibadah, mashallah. It's a beautiful ibadah. Another explanation, they said the essence of fasting is sincerity. Al-ikhlas. How does it work? They said because anyone is able to break his fast privately, anyone can do it, right? Can close the door. Behind closed doors, you can eat and drink. But you keep the fact that you keep fasting and you go for 10 hours or 12 hours without food and you are able to break your fast, that means you are doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because no one is paying you for this fasting. No one is giving you money. There is no hourly wage here for fasting 12 hours. We are all expecting the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So no one is paying you for this fasting. You're doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in this hadith, Qudsi hadith, يَدَعُ شَهْوَتَهُ وَطَعَامَهُ مِنْ أَجْلِي. He would leave his desires and his food for my sake. Because it's very difficult to imagine that someone would fast for to please other people. It's a secret ibadah. You might leave home in the morning, going to work, and you don't have breakfast, especially in the winter, and you will not have breakfast. You don't tell your wife that you're fasting. You don't tell your children. You don't tell your colleagues. Your co-workers, stay at home, you do your work at work, in your company, you go back home at 5 o'clock, in the winter Maghrib is 4:30, and you have dinner with your family at 5 or 6, and no one will be able to know that you were fasting. So it's not something that appears in front of people. It's a secret
ibadah. It's a hidden work that you do for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, in Ramadan, we know that everyone is supposed to be fasting, but we still have problems with some of our community members who try to find an excuse to break their fast. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala يقول أن تصوموا خير لكم تصوموا خير. It's better for you to fast. If you only knew. One of the reasons, this reason was mentioned by a alim, his name is Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali. He said that the reward of fasting will not be used on the Day of Judgment to settle disagreements between people. So people in this dunya have disagreements, right? Madalim. They hurt each other. Someone would talk about someone else. Someone would take the property of someone else. People hurt each other in this dunya and they abuse each other. And if they don't forgive each other in this dunya, if accounts are not settled in this dunya, then the accounts will be settled on the Day of Judgment before people go to Jannah, right? But they said, of course, there is a famous hadith about someone who was praying and fasting and doing all the ibadat, acts of worship, but he used to hurt people, he used to abuse their rights, and he used to take the property and the money of other people. And on the Day of Judgment, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called him al-muflis. This person will be treated as a bankrupt. He will be bankrupt on the Day of Judgment. What kind of bankruptcy we're talking about here? That people will come on the Day of Judgment, those who were his victims, the victims of his abuse and his evil doing, they will say, Ya Allah, I want my rights to be rectified on this day. And they start taking from what? Dollars? Huh? Hasanat. So on the Day of Judgment, we deal with hasanat and sayyat. That's it. This greenback will have no value on the Day of Judgment. The euro will have no value on the Day of Judgment. So people will be dealing with hasanat and sayyat, right? And then they will start taking from his hasanat. Until this person who used to pray, he used to fast, he used to do all this ibadat, all his hasanats are gone. And then there are some other people who want their rights to be rectified. So what will happen? No hasanat are left with him. This is a famous hadith, authentic hadith. أَتَدْرُونَ مَنْ مُفْلِسُ فِيكُمْ. So what will happen? Some of their sayyat will be given to him. So this guy is left without hasanat, and he's taking the sayyat of other people because he abused them, he abused their rights. Then he will go to hellfire. We'll go to fire, of course, يعني, if he's mu'min, Muslim and mu'min and believer, hopefully he will not stay forever, but going to hellfire is not a joke. Now, Ba'ath ulama, and one of them is Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, he said, fasting will not be used here. Fasting will be protected. Because it was for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, said, for me. So Allah will tell the other people he cannot touch his fasting or the reward of his fasting. Which is very beautiful. If this explanation is right, this is something amazing about fasting. That your fasting will be protected, no one will be able to touch it. This is the interpretation of some Muslim scholars. So this is a beautiful hadith, ya ikhwan, about fasting. And now we'll talk a little bit about the main concepts that are found in these verses of fasting from ayah 183 to 187 in Surah Al-Baqarah. I'm not going to go through the ayat, but here the ayah talk about fasting, and of course the main ibadah in Ramadan is fasting, the main activity. There are some other activities that we are supposed to do, recite the Quran, do the Tarawih prayer, give sadaqah, make dhikr, make dua. We'll talk about the power of dua tonight. But the main ibadah that we will do, or we're supposed to do in Ramadan, is fasting, is to fast. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about taqwa as a purpose for this ibadah. So the purpose of this ibadah is to achieve taqwa. And by the way, this is a question that we receive sometimes. If my colleague asks me, why do you fast? If my classmates ask me, why do you fast? The answer is very simple. We take it from this ayah 183. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Perhaps that you might achieve taqwa. That you have a better relationship with Allah. You become a better Muslim. You become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have a closer relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You empower your spirituality. So we do it for the sake of spiritual empowerment. So all these answers are easy to share with non-Muslims. If you have a chance to talk to them about fasting and the ibadah of fasting. And of course, in this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the link between fasting or the month of fasting, Ramadan, and Quran. And there is a very strong relationship, because the ulama said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed or sent down the Quran in one night. It was Laylatul Qadr from Al-Lawh Al-Mahfuz, the protected tablet. We don't know the nature of this tablet, but we know it exists. It's with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all maqadir al-khala'iq, all the maqadir, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed from day one till the day of judgment, everything is written in this tablet, including the Qur'an. The Qur'an was there, but it was sent down from this tablet to the near heaven. And then it was sent down to our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Ramadan, Al-Mubarak Furi, one of the ulama who wrote, he authored a book, is called the Rahiq al-Makhtum. He said, based on the research of many Muslim scholars, the Quran was revealed to our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the 21st of Ramadan, and it was the date in the Gregorian calendar was August 10, 610. But it was in Ramadan. And Ramadan, the Islamic calendar, by the way, was not invented by Umar ibn Khattab. The lunar calendar existed before Islam. But the Arabs used to play around with this Islamic months. They used to change their positions based on their wishes and desires. But when Umar ibn Khattab decided to use this calendar as an Islamic calendar, he said, we are not going to change anything. This is how, this is the order of this Islamic month, Muharram, Safar, Rabi' al-Awwal, Rabi' al-Akhir, Jumad al-Ula, Jumad al-Akhira, Rajab, Sha'ban, Ramadan, Shawwal, Dhul Qi'dah, and Dhul Hijjah. These are the 12 months of the Islamic calendar. So Ramadan, the month of Ramadan, was known for them. And that's why I'm saying here that these ayat, 5 verses from Surah Al-Alaq, were revealed to our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the last 10 days of Ramadan, on the night of the 21st of Ramadan. Now, also this ayah talk about the concept of ease. What is the concept of ease? Al-yusr. Yuridu Allahu bikum al-yusra, wa la yuridu bikum al-usr. Allah intends for you ease, and he doesn't want to make things difficult for you. يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ. That means we are allowed to benefit from the concessions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed for Muslims. Especially in Ramadan, you are sick, you have the right to break your fast without any feeling of guilt if you are sick. Of course, it has to be when you are sick. Yani, we're not talking about a light sickness, some headache or that. We're talking about something that makes your fasting very hard. We're talking about hardship, the concept of hardship. It is difficult for you to fast with this sickness. Or fasting will delay your recovery. So in this case, you are allowed to break your fast. You're traveling, you are allowed to break your fast. But you are allowed to keep fasting too. But traveling is an excuse to break your fast. But it doesn't mean that you don't make up the days. No, after Ramadan, you have to make up those days. If a woman is pregnant, she's allowed. If she feels she's worried about herself or concerned about her baby, the well-being of her baby, she's allowed to break her fast. Even if she's breastfeeding and she's concerned about her baby, she's allowed to break her fast. So these are, you know, concessions, rukhas. It's called rukhsa in Arabic. Rukhas, jam', plural, rukhas, concessions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to His servants. It's like a gift and from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we are traveling, when it comes to prayer, we are allowed to combine between the Dhuhr and Asr, or between Maghrib and Isha. We are allowed to shorten our prayers. Of course, we don't shorten our prayers when we are local, when we are in town. But when we are in town, if we are facing a hardship, time to time, we are allowed to combine between the prayers. We cannot shorten when we are local, but we are supposed to, or it is sunnah, to shorten the prayers. Dhuhr will become two, Asr will become two, and Isha will become two. So these are concessions from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So basically Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, I want to make your life easy. I don't want you to go through hardship. This is not the purpose. The purpose of prescribing this ibadah is that you be able, inshallah, to achieve taqwa. You become among the people of taqwa. And we'll talk a little bit about the essence of taqwa. The essence of taqwa, because sometimes, you know, we really need to understand the essence of taqwa. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah talks about the power of dua in ayah 186. I'll talk a little bit about it because this ayah is amazing. This ayah was designed to show the nearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to demonstrate the power of dua in Ramadan. And we need to talk about it again and again and again. And 187, ayah 187 confirms the concept of taqwa at the end. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started with taqwa and He ended this ayat with taqwa. But He said, تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ فَلَا تَقْرَبُوهَا. These are the limits set by Allah. So do not come close to them. Do not cross the limits of Allah. And this is the essence of taqwa. اتَّقِ الْمَحَارِمْ تَكُنْ أَعْبَدَ النَّاسِ. اتَّقِ الْمَحَارِمْ. Stay away from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden. You will be among the best worshippers. Among the best worshippers. You will have an excellent relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if you stay away from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden. So basically now, ya ikhwan, when it comes to taqwa, the ulama said it's from the verb waqa, and it means to preserve, waqa, protect and safeguard. And the essence is of this concept is that you try to protect yourself from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By staying away from muharramat, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden, you are protecting yourself from the punishment of hellfire. And that's the meaning. That's the meaning of word waqa. Waqa is to protect, to preserve, to safeguard against something. So you're protecting yourself against the hellfire or the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why sometimes taqwa is translated as fear of Allah. In our culture here in this land, fear is usually has a negative meaning, right? But when it is related to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it has a very positive meaning. Because when you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you become a better Muslim. When you fear others, you become a weak human being. But when you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you become a better Muslim. وَإِذَلِكَ يُقَالُ فِي الْمَثَلِ الْعَرَبِيِّ الَّذِي يَخَافُ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى لَا يُخَافُ مِنْهُ. يعني you don't fear someone who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can deal with him. Feel comfortable to deal with him. Whether it is a matter of marriage or business, because you know that he fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you'll be safe with him. It will be safe to deal with this person. And you don't have to worry about him. Because he has taqwa in his heart. That's why Rasulullah said 3 times, and I said it today in the khutbah, In a famous hadith, he said, التقوى هاهنا, التقوى هاهنا, التقوى هاهنا. I will share this hadith, it's very important. So anyway, but the foundation of this taqwa is a sound heart, ya akhwan. We need to work on our hearts. Al-qalb al-salim. When your heart is sound, is healthy, is pure, then all your good deeds will be fine, will be good, and they will be blessed, and they will be accepted. But if our hearts are not pure, then most likely our deeds will be affected because of the problem that we have in our hearts. And I will share with you a hadith, and I want you to pay attention to this hadith because we really have a problem in our communities. Our relationship, rules of engagement, talking with, the way we interact with each other, the way we, husband and wife, parent, children, neighbors, cousins dealing with each other, brothers dealing with each other, sisters dealing with each other. It's a big problem. Whenever I talk about this subject, about grudges, about negative feelings, hatred towards other Muslims, I receive some feedback from community members. And the feedback that I receive is, I'm not able to forgive this person or someone in my family because he's an evildoer, he did this or she did this, I'm not able to forgive them. And you're talking about the importance of forgiving other Muslims. So this hadith in Sahih Muslim, I want you to pay attention to it because within this hadith, Rasulullah ﷺ pointed to his heart, to his chest, and he said, التَّقْوَى هَاهُنَا, تَقْوَى is here, تَقْوَى is here, تَقْوَى is here, three times. That means taqwa starts inside, here, in your heart. So he said in this hadith, لا تحاسدوا ولا تناجشوا ولا تباغضوا ولا تدابروا ولا يبيع بعضكم على بيع بعض وكونوا عباد الله إخوانا المسلم أخو المسلم لا يظلمه ولا يخذله ولا يحقره. التقوى هاهنا ثلاث مرات. بعدين قال بحسب امرئ من الشر أن يحقر أخاه المسلم. كل المسلم على المسلم حرام ماله دمه وماله وعرضه. حديث في صحيح مسلم. It's a beautiful hadith that is in صحيح مسلم. He said لا تحاسدوا. Avoid jealousy between yourselves. Because jealousy will destroy your deeds. Jealousy will destroy your relationship with your brother and your sister and your neighbor and your friend. And jealousy is a disease that we need to stay away from it. What is the envy or jealousy is to wish that the ni'mah that was given to your brother or your sister is taken away from them. This is the jealousy. You are angry because someone else is successful. It's very bad. It's not a nice feeling at all. And if someone has this feeling towards the achievement of other Muslims, then he has to deal with it because it's not something nice. You don't want to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with these feelings. And if you want to repel and crush these feelings, make dua for them in their absence, then this will be removed from your heart, these feelings, negative feelings, your heart will be purified. Make dua for them. Whenever you feel like, oh, you're not happy about the achievements of so-and-so, is successful in this field, successful in this field, make dua for them in their absence, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cure these feelings. So he said, لا تحاسدوا, لا تناجشوا, do not outbid one another, with the view, with the purpose of increasing the price. It's called the najash. It used to be practiced in the old days. Nowadays, it is practiced maybe in different ways, online and in different ways. But the purpose of this najash is to outbid, someone will come and give a price. Talking about business here. Give a price for something. The other person will come and give a higher price, but his purpose is not to buy it. Actually, his purpose is to deceive other people and make them feel that this has value, And they should, because he has a relationship maybe with the seller, and he wants to deceive them, give them the impression that this has a higher value, you should give a better price. So why is it haram? Because when the person discovers that the other one is doing it on purpose to deceive him, this will happen. What will happen to their relationship? We're talking about relationship here. He will be upset. He will hate the other person. So basically, Rasulullah, he said, don't do anything that would destroy your relationship. I want you to be good brothers, love each other, have a great relationship. So he mentioned these things that people do sometimes. And he said, لا تباغضوا. Do not harbor hatred against one another. Bughd is hiqd, hatred. Wallahi, there are people who harbor or carry this great, hold these grudges for 20 years, 25 years. Yani, a problem happened a long time ago. And after 20 years, 15 years, they are not able to forgive the other person, which is not right. Which is not healthy, and is not right. It will affect your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So holding these grudges is not healthy, is not good for everyone. Everyone will be affected, the whole community will be affected. وَلَا تَدَابَرُوا Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam قال وَلَا تَدَابَرُوا Do not turn your backs on each other. Some people, two people, they are not getting along. They're not having good relationship. So they come, and then when they see each other, everyone will turn his back to the other person. No salam, no returning the salam. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam قال وَلَا تَدَابَرُوا وَلَا تَدَابَرُوا Do not turn your backs to one another. وَلَا يَبِعْ بَعْضُكُمْ عَلَى بَيْعِ بَعْضٍ Do not sell upon the sale of another Muslim. And some ulama, they said, even if the other person is not Muslim, do not do it. وَلَا يَبِعْ بَعْضُكُمْ عَلَى بَيْعِ بَعْضٍ So, how does it happen? How about if I am in auction? The other person is giving a price, I'm giving a price, the other person, this is permissible. So what did he mean by this? وَلَا يَبِعْ بَعْضُكُمْ عَلَى بَيْعِ بَعْضٍ There are two scenarios. The first scenario is, two people are talking about making transaction about something. I'm the seller, the other person is the buyer. I gave him the price, he's fine, happy with the price, and we're about to conclude the transaction. We're about to conclude. And then a third party will come, he will say, I'll give you a better price. Do not sell it to so-and-so. Is that good? Do you think this is right? Do you think it will affect the relationship between Muslims? They will start hating each other? I think it will. And that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do not do it. Or the other surah, the other version of this this action, this forbidden action, is that I buy something with what is called the return window. It's called the return window, the option to cancel the deal. So the seller will give me 30 days to try it, or 15 days to try it. If I'm not happy with it, I can return it to him. And he will ask no question. So during that period, the other person will come, go and cancel the deal, I'll give you a better deal. This is not halal. وَلَا يَبِعْ بَعْضُكُمْ عَلَى بَيْعِ بَعْضٍ وَكُونُوا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ إِخْوَانًا Be servants of Allah as brothers. And then he said, الْمُسْلِمْ أَخُ الْمُسْلِمْ A Muslim is the brother of another Muslim. لَا يَظْلِمُهُ وَلَا يَخْذُلُهُ وَلَا يَحْقِرُهُ He said he does not wrong him, betray him, or despise him. Despise him, look, he doesn't look down upon him. And looking down upon other Muslims is one, it's a major sin, and it is a form of kibr. A form of kibr. So one part of kibr is to reject the truth. The other element, when Rasulullah ﷺ tried to define the kibr, arrogance, and he said someone who has an atom's weight of arrogance in his heart who will not enter Jannah, he mentioned two things. Some people thought wearing nice clothes, it's a form of of kibr, he said, no, this is not kibr. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you money, you can buy expensive clothes, that's fine. And then he gave two things. He mentioned two things. He said to reject the truth and to look down upon other people. Whether because you don't like the color of their skin, you don't like their culture, you don't like whatever you don't like about them. It's kibr. It's kibr. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before that, before saying, telling us about, because he confirmed this, he said, لَا يَظْلِمُهُ وَلَا يَخْذُلُهُ وَلَا يَحْقِرُهُ. Then he said, التَّقْوَى هَاهُنَا ثَلَاثْ مَرَّاتٍ. التَّقْوَى هَاهُنَا, تَقْوَى is here, تَقْوَى is here, تَقْوَى is here, three times. And he said, حَسَبِ مْرِئٍ مِنَ الشَّرْءٍ أَنْ يَحْقِرَ أَخَاهُ الْمُسْلِمِ. And this is a very strong statement. He said, it is sufficient evil for a man that he should look or despise his Muslim brother or look down upon his Muslim brother. So do not look down upon any Muslim. He could be better than you in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You look at him, you feel like this is someone, he looks like a homeless. Maybe he doesn't have a job, I have more money than him and this and that. People have their own standard, right? But this person could be doing Qiyam al-Layl, who could be giving sadaqat, he might have an excellent relationship with his parents. He might be a wali, someone who has a very close relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So do not do it, stay away from it. But the point of sharing this hadith is to say that it start taqwa, start from our hearts. Then he said, كُلُّ الْمُسْلِمِ عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِ حَرَامِ دَمُهُ وَمَالُهُ وَعِرْضُهُ. So his blood and his properties and his honor, all of this are haram for another Muslim to violate. Are haram for another Muslim to violate. His blood. So you're not allowed to kill another Muslim. Of course, it's a major sin. And his property, you're not allowed to take the property of someone else and take his money. And also his honor. It could be easy for many Muslims to avoid the first problem, killing someone else. Maybe it will be easier for many Muslims to stay away from the property of other Muslims. But talking about other people and attacking their honor could be something difficult that we have to be careful about it. We have to pay attention to it. Because we like to talk. We like to share stories. Do you agree with me? Right? We like to share stories and talk about other people. So if you're talking about the problem of another Muslim, just maybe you need to remind each other. Maybe stop talking about other people and that's it. And we do it sometimes, you don't pay attention to it. We remember after. If we remember after, make istighfar. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive your sins. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala maybe to forgive those you talked about. If you're not able to tell them, because it could be difficult sometimes to go to the other people, tell them, I'm sorry, I seek your forgiveness. On this day or the other day, I was talking about you with another Muslim. And if you say this, you might actually make it worse, right? So they said, the ulama, if you are not able to go and seek forgiveness from the other person, what do? Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive their sins and make dua for them in their absence. Now, so this is the foundation of taqwa, ya akhwan. And if we know the value of taqwa, then we try, inshallah, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, to be among the people of taqwa, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yuhibbu al-muttaqeen, He loves the people of taqwa. And again, the essence of taqwa is to avoid what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden. That's why He said that the antilka hududullahi fala taqrabuha. These are the limits of Allah. Do not cross them. Do not come near to them. He was talking at the end about having an intimate relationship with your wife when you are doing i'tikaf at the end of Ayah 187. Of course, most of the people will avoid it, but this is an example that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned at the end of 187 when talking about the ayat of fasting. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as I said, mentioned taqwa at the end of this ayah 187. He started 183 with taqwa, ended 187 with taqwa. In between, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about the Quran. And we are supposed to read the Quran, recite the Quran. If we don't have time, we should listen to the Quran. How do we, what is the best way to listen to the Quran? To come to Taraweeh prayer. But I should warn you that in our masajid, we are not doing khatma, although most of the masajid. If you want to listen to the mushaf, the whole mushaf, maybe in Ramadan, because we are not listening to the whole khatma in Taraweeh, maybe you should listen to the Quran by yourself while driving to work, or driving back to home, or doing some work at home. You can listen to the Quran if you wish, right? لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ so that you may receive mercy. If when you keep listening to the Quran, or to benefit from the Quran is to study some verses or some surahs during the month of Ramadan. Study their meanings. And it's easy these days. You can have a mushaf where it has Arabic in one side and English in one side. And you check the meaning of the verses that you are reciting. And most of the translations, especially the clear Quran, they will give you at least, sometimes some ayat, they have different interpretation. At least they give you one interpretation. Most of the time is agreed upon. The meanings are agreed upon, most of the time. Some of the ayat, some of the words, their interpretation have two opinions, three opinions. At least one, you're dealing with one translation, they will give you one interpretation, right? You get access to one interpretation. But most of the time, the meanings are very easy and they are agreed upon, right? So you get access to some knowledge. And وهذا يسمى تدبر. You're not studying tafsir, you're not becoming a mufassir. But at least you're having, trying to understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala meant by this ayat. You get some basic knowledge about this ayat. And if you think a lot, spend some time with them, this is called tadabbur. You know, reflecting upon the meanings of this ayat. And this is something beautiful, because this is the purpose. The purpose of revealing this book is that people will reflect upon its verses, and the people of knowledge will be reminded when they read the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the purpose of revealing this book is that people need to reflect upon the verses, because this is how we become better Muslims, ya ikhwan. Understand the message and you act upon this guidance. When you understand the message, you receive the guidance. You understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to do, right? And you start acting upon it. اتقوا الله ما استطعتم. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إذا أمرتكم بشيء فأتوا منه ما استطعتم. وَإِذَا نَهَيْتُكُمْ عَنْ شَيْءٍ فَانْتَهُوا. That's why we say the essence of taqwa is to stay away from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden. He said, إِذَا أَمَرْتُكُمْ فِي بِأَمْرٍ فَأْتُوا مِنْهُ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. When I command you to do something, then do it as much as you can, to the best of your possibility, right? If you're not able to read the whole Qur'an in Ramadan, and you are able to read half of the Qur'an, alhamdulillah. Don't try to be perfect and say, because no one is perfect, ikhwan. It's good to have, to have big plans, but you have to be reasonable at the same time. You have to think about your work and your what you are supposed to do and your duties towards your family and everything. Try to have a reasonable plan, right? Don't have something that is from now, if you're planning for Ramadan. There are people who plan to finish the Quran maybe three times or four times. If they are able to do it, that's beautiful, alhamdulillah. But to complete the recitation of the Quran one time, it's beautiful in itself. For each letter you will get, you will receive 10 hasanat. Now, talking about dua, the power of dua, I would like to finish with this. As I said, this ayah 186 in this ayat of verses of fasting was designed to show our nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to demonstrate and show the power of dua in Ramadan. In this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. He didn't say, قُلْ فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. He didn't say that. He said, فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, right away. When my servant asks you concerning me, O Muhammad, that I'm truly near. He didn't tell him, say to them, but in the rest of the questions in the Quran, all of them, you study all the questions in the Quran, the answer will be always, قُلْ, say to them. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is conveying the message, or he was supposed to convey the message on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the rest of the mu'mineen, the rest of the servants. But here in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided to answer the question by himself. You see the difference? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided, why? Because it is about him. It's about him and about our relationship with him. The relationship of the creator with his creation. So there is no need for a go-between here in this ayah, in this context. فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. And how did he show his nearness? أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. I respond to the prayer of those who call upon me. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to show his qurb, his nearness to his servants. And we benefit from this, we benefit from this ayat, two names. We can extract two names from here. And they are well known in the Quran. They were mentioned in the Quran. Al-Qarib al-Mujib. Al-Qarib al-Mujib. Al-Qarib, the near one. Al-Mujib, the one who responds to prayers. The answerer of prayers. And you can use them in your dua. When you're talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can say, Ya Allah, give me this and this and this. Innaka anta al-Qarib al-Mujib. Because we are allowed to empower our dua. Tawassul bi asma'illahi al-husna, to empower our dua by using his names, his most beautiful names. So, but he mentioned two requirements at the end of the ayah. قال فليستجيبوا لي وليؤمنوا بي لعلهم يرشدون. If they want me to answer their dua, answer their prayers, then let them respond to me with obedience. Obedience could be a general term here. But we're talking about the fasting, the ayat of fasting. So let them to respond to me by observing Ramadan with ihsan, with excellence. Do it in the best way. Then you will deserve, inshallah, for your dua to be accepted and to be answered. Will you aminu bi, and let them believe in me, have faith in me. This faith, the concept of faith here in this context is very important. Why? Because we have to distinguish between a fasting that was observed out of sincere faith and a fasting that is observed because it is the culture of the community. I'm doing it because everyone is doing it in my family, because this is the culture of my people. Thaqafa, aada. That's why people, I don't like these terms, but people use cultural Muslim, practicing Muslim. I don't like this division. We're supposed to be all Muslims, right? We are supposed to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But unfortunately, we have these terms nowadays. You say, oh, this person is a cultural Muslim. This person is a practicing Muslim. But what I mean here, I'm trying to explain something. That when you do it, you do it with faith. That's why Rasulullah said in a hadith that's in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, من صام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. Whoever observes fasting during the month of Ramadan out of sincere faith, and hoping in Allah's reward, hoping to attain Allah's reward, all his previous sins will be forgiven. So look at the beauty and the power. We're talking about the power of Ramadan. We started with the Qudsi Hadith that says the reward, we don't know the reward of Ramadan, and it will be multiplied. We don't know the multiplication. We'll find out about it on the Day of Judgment. Right? It's something amazing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will surprise you with it. The reward of your fasting might be protected on the Day of Judgment. No one will be able to take it away from you, those who have issues with you. Hisabat on the Day of Judgment. And if you do it out of sincere faith and you have ihtisab, you're happy about it, you're looking forward to the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all your previous sins will be forgiven. And there is we're talking about the power of dua. There is another bushra that is found in hadith in Sunan al-Bayhaqi. Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu rawa thalathu da'awatin la turad. He said thalathu da'awatin la turad, da'watu al-walidi liwaladihi wa da'watu al-sa'im wa da'watu al-musafir. In this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said three supplications will never be rejected: the da'wah, the du'a, the supplication of a father or a parent to his children or her children, the supplications of a fasting person, and number three, the supplications of a traveling person, someone who is traveling. So you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is willing to answer your du'a. My advice, try to prepare for your du'a from now. And maybe you should start practicing this du'a. You can write them down if you want. There are people who, wallahi, I know people, Allah answered their du'a at the end of Ramadan, on the day of Eid. I know families, Allah answered their du'a on the day of Eid. When Ramadan was completed, their du'a was answered. But it could be delayed for you, it could be given to you, it could be, I mean, everyone is different. But you are always a winner when you deal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because your dua will be always, always accepted in a certain way. Maybe in a way that you don't know about it. Allah will protect you, either give you what you want or protect you against a calamity, or keep the rewards of your dua, and it will be given to you on the day of judgment. Right? Three ways. So if your dua is not answered in this dunya, you're gonna still get something, and you are always a winner, as I said, when you deal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I like the concept of qareeb mujib. Qareeb mujib. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is qareeb mujib. Use them in your dua. Use these two names. And also you can use ya hayyu ya qayyum, ya dhal jalali wal ikram. As I said, try to come up with a plan. Craft a plan for yourself. Come up with a list of supplications if you want. Start using them from now. So in Ramadan, you're familiar with them, start doing them every day. In your sujood, after your salat, during taraweeh, and then we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you what you want. And of course, there is no limit. As long as you're not making an haram, you're not asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you with a sin, or you are not asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hurt someone else, a family member, someone who has a right upon you, right? You're not committing a sin in your dua. It's if your dua is good, then most likely it will be accepted بإذن الله تعالى. نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يوفقنا جميعا لكل خير. نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبلغنا رمضان. ونسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يجعلنا فيه من أهلي الفوز والغفران. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to reach Ramadan, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who are successful in Ramadan. Do you have any question before we conclude this halaqa بإذن الله تعالى؟ تفضل. You are allowed if it is halal travel. If it is halal, you are allowed, yeah. It's okay, I mean, yeah, but if you're not tired, it's better. If it is not difficult for you, it's better to keep fasting. Yani if it is very difficult for you to fast while traveling, then it's better to break your fast. But if it is easy for you to fast, then you should be fasting. That is better. Wallahu ta'ala. If it is a short trip to Banful, then maybe you should try to keep fasting. Wallahu ta'ala. Yes. Sisters, do you have a question? Abdul Rahman, you raised your hand? Yeah, okay. Jazakumullahu khairan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you, bless your times. And we see you, inshallah, most likely, this coming Friday. It will be the night before the first day of Ramadan. Yani we're expecting Ramadan to start on March 1st. So the night before, we're supposed to do Taraweeh. And the night before will be Friday, the last day of February. So there will be no halaqa. So this halaqa, this coming Friday, the halaqa will be cancelled. And we resume our Friday halaqas after Ramadan, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. And this Sunday, for those who missed the zakat workshops, did not attend any zakat workshop before, we're doing a zakat workshop at downtown masjid after Isha, this coming Sunday, February 23rd. We're doing a zakat workshop after Isha at downtown masjid. Barakallahu feekum, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for all of us. Barakallahu feekum.